Hi, and welcome to Moving Through Motherhood, a podcast for mums who want to move more mindfully through all stages of motherhood, including pregnancy, postnatal, and beyond. I'm Jen Mazur, founder of Mum's Yoga Club, and I'm here to support you in motherhood through conversations about movement, mindset, motivation, and so much more. So let's get started with today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to Moving Through Motherhood. Today I am so excited to be joined by Karen Ellis. Karen is an expert in postnatal recovery and a former midwife. Karen works with mums of young babies and older children to help them recover their pelvic floor so they can have dry knickers, heal their stomach muscles so they feel strong in their core, pelvis and back, and build a strong body so they can enjoy active adventures with their little ones. Karen leads the Dry Knickers campaign, a mission to ensure every woman in the country has the information they need to have a strong pelvic floor and dry knickers. The Dry Knickers campaign is also about helping mums exercise safely while learning how to look after their pelvic floor and stomach muscles. I am so excited for you to listen to this conversation. It was so much fun. Karen's got such high energy, and I know you're all going to learn so much about your pelvic floor recovery, and more from this chat. So enjoy. Start your 7-day free trial on Mum's Yoga Club, the online membership today. With unlimited yoga and meditation for pregnancy, postnatal and beyond, as a listener to the podcast, you get an exclusive 20% off a monthly or annual membership when you use the code POD20. That's P-O-D-20. That's less than £4 a week for unlimited yoga. So come and join our community of mums moving through motherhood together. Join Mum's Yoga Club, the online membership today, using the link in the show notes. See you on the mat. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited today to be joined by Karen Ellis. Karen, how are you?
Hi, I am good, thank you.
I'm loving this morning energy, I have to say. I know we've just been chatting before we came on. You said you haven't had much sleep, but I would never tell. I'm loving the morning energy, so thanks.
Well, I feel like most people listening would be able to like feel that. Like, yeah, here too.
Yes, morning.
Yeah, I did it on purpose so that I can empathize with everybody, really.
Exactly. But we are going to be talking all things pelvic floor today with you. So I'm so excited to dive into this, because I feel like there's so much to talk about, so much to cover, and so much that's just not spoken about enough about the pelvic floor. So very excited to get going with the chat. So the first question I want to get into really is, what are the most common struggles that we see postnatally in women in relation to the pelvic floor?
Okay, so I'd say the most common things that I come across that mums tell me they struggle with are things like incontinence, so wetting their pants when they cough, laugh, sneeze, or just during life, which can be really kind of like debilitating of their life because of kind of like the worry that comes behind it too. Feelings of heaviness, that feeling of heaviness, like something's pushing down on the pelvic floor, particularly in the early days, but then can carry on for a long period of time afterwards. Some women will have potentially have had a tear and some stitches or an episiotomy, so there's some like actual trauma and healing to go on there with the pelvic floor. And also like just general like tiredness and dissociation the right word, but like not feeling like that's theirs anymore because it's just done this huge thing. So then they find it hard to reconnect afterwards.
Do you feel like, because I find this maybe in the training I did as well, like there's a lot of caution, a lot of fear around kind of rebuilding after having a baby. Do you think some of us are being a little too cautious in what we can do, or is it, what is the best approach to take, basically?
Maybe we're being too cautious, or maybe we are listening to what our body's asking for us to do and going like, okay, I need to just take this steady. I wonder whether some of the cautiousness is because of lack of information, because actually they haven't got the knowledge or haven't been given the information to feel empowered to know what to do. And actually learning that information and being taught it, so you know exactly what now you need to do to recover your pelvic floor and safely then strengthen it and get into exercise with confidence and empowerment, then you are going to be less cautious about that and kind of go along the steps, do you know?
That's so true, isn't it? Because I always think a lot of people, which is fine, everyone does kind of, everyone's on their own path after having a baby, but a lot of people will kind of jump straight back into what they were doing before or go back to those classes that they were doing before. And actually, as you say, those professionals are not necessarily trained in the pelvic floor in a postnatal recovery. So working with somebody who has that understanding of what's happening, what we've gone through, the best and safest way to approach it so we can rebuild that strength, so key, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely is. Yeah, because generally in general fitness, there isn't that knowledge about the pelvic floor or how to look after your body to transition it from having just had a baby to exercise safely. So I think even just knowing that and knowing actually I need to work this out first before I go and exercise is key, because if you don't know, you need to know. You don't know, you just jump into the exercise, right? Thinking that you're doing everything you can to strengthen and rebuild your core without knowing that actually there's this work to do in your recovery first. So yeah, so seeking out that person who has extra knowledge in that postnatal period and how to we can help you reconnect to your pelvic floor, like teach you how to do a squeeze, because we get like we have our baby and then the midwife might say, "Are you doing your squeezes? Remember to do your squeezes. What does that even mean?
And
What
we
is a
all just say yes.
squeeze?
We're all like, yes, we are, yes. Like,
Yeah,
I'm all right,
because
I'll
it's
be
usually
home.
yes, exactly, because it's usually put to you as like, "You're doing your squeezes, aren't you?" And you're like, "Yes." And then it's like, then on to the next question. And then when you start to reflect, you're like, "Well, hang on, what are these squeezes? What do they mean? When do I do them? How many? And what do I do next? And how does squeezes go into exercise?" And
And I wonder if
so
we
many
asked, like,
questions.
except mine was with my GP, that the 6 week kind of checkup, like, and she said, like, are you doing your pelvic floor exercises? I was like, yes. And like, I was, because obviously I've got the knowledge, I understand it. But I kind of was like, I wonder if I ask her what she means and what I should be doing, if they actually would know. And it's not a judge, it's definitely not a judgment on them. It's as we say, it's the training's not there, that understanding's not there. Thankfully, that voice is getting a lot louder now. That's one of the great things about social media, isn't it? That these sort of conversations are getting a bigger voice. Voice and a bigger understanding. But yeah, I do wonder if actually a lot of us are even having that guidance and that knowledge of what we should be doing to support that recovery.
Yeah, exactly. And I suspect if you fired that question back to the midwife, health visit, a GP, even your fitness trainer at the gym, they wouldn't know, and kind of not fully to their own like fault. It's just not ridiculously not in the training. Like I say to people, kind of let you in on a little bit of a secret here, right? So I say to people, form a midwife because it gives me like accreditation. But honestly, in my midwifery training, we were not taught about how to recover a pelvic floor or how to make it strong. We were told where the muscles were. I remember having a picture of a pelvic floor anatomy next to my toilet when I was doing that exam in my midwifery with the muscles labeled, and I had to learn these muscles, but I'm dyslexic, right? So I don't remember names, so I'm just chanting these muscles so that I remember them for an exam. And as soon as the exam's finished, I'm like, now I don't have to remember them. Phew. And I still to this day don't know any muscle name on the pelvic floor, do you know? And that
That's
was my
fine.
training.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sad, isn't it, really, that they're the people kind of responsible for our recovery after having babies. Technically, of course, it's a responsibility on yourself, but that first point of information is your midwife, is your healthcare provider. And if they don't even have the knowledge, how are we expected to take control of that properly?
Exactly. Or even if they don't have the knowledge, just to know to like say to that mum, "Okay, this is great. Now you're okay to exercise. But before you exercise, please seek the knowledge, the advice that you need to know how to switch on your pelvic floor and strengthen it. Switch on your core muscles, your stomach muscles properly so that when you go into exercise, you know how that translates and you're looking after your core so that you can re-strengthen." Even just that, even if they didn't know the knowledge and they were just able to communicate that mum would then go, "Huh, I need to learn this," and not just jump into their local exercise class at the gym with an instructor who has never learned about the pelvic floor, which is crazy, right? When you do, because I know, because I've done general fitness training before I did extra antenatal, prenatal training, your general fitness training it teaches you about the muscles and how they work in your arms, in your legs, in your chest, in your back. But it doesn't talk about the pelvic floor. What the freak?
I know. Is it? I hate to bring that conversation up, but is it because it's mainly a female issue? Of course, men have a pelvic floor, but obviously with birth and especially in motherhood, it is more of a female issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like I feel like it's a bit of a blip in the female anatomy, right? Because we've got this hole underneath us that gravity is constantly pulling down on, and this hole just has these muscles keeping all our organs inside. It's really important. So why are we not learning how to strengthen that when we go to the gym? Why is that not part of our conversation? Do you know? And when I say that to people who are in the fitness industry, then they go, oh yeah, just not even part of people's consciousness, do you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, hopefully that is changing. These conversations are changing it, which is great. What about timeline? Because I know a lot of people maybe a year, 6 months, a year into having a baby, and they've not really done anything to rebuild their pelvic floor strength intentionally. Is there kind of a timeline that I guess it's never too late, of course, but what is the kind of timeline we're looking at where we want to start taking this seriously? For me, I think it's immediately. You can do that breathing straight away after birth, can't you? But kind of what I want to get to the point of is it's not too late, is it, to start rebuilding your pelvic floor?
No, absolutely not. I ran a postnatal recovery workshop in Scarborough yesterday, and I even called it a postnatal recovery workshop. And there was a lady there, she'd contacted me before to see if she was able to come. And her youngest was 21 years old. And she was like, is it too late for me, Karen? And I was like, absolutely not. Please come, please learn this stuff. You can absolutely learn how to connect to your pelvic floor and strengthen it. And it turns out this lady had pelvic floor prolapse, and nobody had told her how to switch her pelvic floor on properly. Nobody had said, this is what squeezes.
In
21 years. And a lady who's seen many healthcare professionals with a prolapse. And we sat in that workshop and we all went through a proper pelvic floor squeeze, switching on the muscles in the back of your pelvic floor, the muscles in the front of your pelvic floor, doing the lifts, activating all of those muscles. And I was like, right, does that feel different to everybody now? And they were all like, yes. And I was like, this has taken me 10 minutes. Like, why can't somebody spend 10 minutes of each one, you know, just at the minimum doing that? But yeah, it's never too late, because now that lady knows how to do that. Then we went on to talk about how then you do that whilst connecting with your whole core, your stomach muscles as well, because that's important, right? Our pelvic floor doesn't want to work as a muscle by itself. It wants to work in partnership with all of the muscles in your body. So learning to use your pelvic floor with your stomach muscles, and then in exercise, then it becomes part of your exercise. So you're not aimlessly squeezing just every day. You're like making your pelvic floor become part of your working body. So then it's working alongside all of it. But she's got that knowledge now. So now she can go away and do those things, and she will most definitely feel some sort of benefit from that. And that's 21 years on, so like literally never too late.
Never too late. You briefly touched on it there. So obviously she had a prolapse. If someone listening is kind of not sure, what are the signs, the symptoms we're looking out for that might be the case for someone listening, that they have a prolapse?
For some people, it would be really obvious, because they would feel or see a bulge from their vaginal opening. For other people, it's not so obvious, because it depends on how, I don't want to say bad feels like a bad word to use, how like extensive their prolapse is. It might just feel like heaviness. Some women describe it as just they feel heaviness, and then when they seek out support, the physio will examine them and say, you've got prolapse. But to them, it was just this heaviness. I think like anybody who has any kind of thoughts that something is not right in their pelvic floor, something feels strange, something feels weird, it's not 100% connecting, it's not 100% anything, it just has to be something you're feeling unsure of. Like I would always just say, go to your GP, get a referral to a physio, get somebody who can see you one-to-one, who can work that out with you. Because once you know that then empowers you to seek out the information and support you need to make things better. And the quicker you do that, the better for you and for your long-term pelvic health. So don't be like, these are the signs and symptoms of a pelvic prolapse. I maybe have one or two of them, but not the other. Just anything. Go, like, I think we should all see a physio after we've had a baby, right? It's like a major life event, a major event to the core muscles in our body that are so important to us. Like, why are we not all seeing a physio who can show us how to do this rehabilitation afterwards? How much would we all not be having issues in the future if we did that, you know?
I guess it's access, isn't it? Access to those support systems, which absolutely should be there, should be more readily available for everybody, definitely. I want to talk quickly about C-section, because I work with a lot of mums who've had a C-section, and I think they have this false awareness, I guess, that they don't really need to do much for their pelvic floor because baby didn't come out through the pelvic floor muscles. And actually, you have to obviously explain, don't you, that weight of pregnancy over the 9-10 months is a lot on the pelvic floor. So is there anything that, as someone who's had a C-section, from your point of view, needs to do differently in that pelvic floor recovery?
I don't think there's anything that we need to do differently, whether a mum's had a vaginal birth or a cesarean section, or like a hard birth, not so hard, but like it kind of is almost, not fully, I feel it's kind of almost insignificant, because we still want to go through this process of making sure our pelvic floor is connecting, we're feeling confident we're connecting, our TAs, our lower tummy muscles are switching on and connecting, we're feeling confident with that connection. Then we know how that connection translates into exercise. Whether you've had a vaginal birth or a cesarean section, you still want to go through that process. What I will say to people when they ask me that difference is I'll say, sometimes, but not always, because we all have a very individual, different experience of this. Or sometimes when you've had a vaginal birth, you'll find it harder to get that connection in your pelvic floor, and you might find it easier to switch on your stomach muscles, and vice versa with a cesarean section. Mm-hmm. But like, you might not, that might not be the case. And kind of doesn't really matter. You just like meet your body where it is at, go through the steps and see where you are, hold out on that step until you're like, yeah, I've got this, and then move forward. And it can take as long as it needs to take, and it doesn't matter which step takes longer than the other. Maybe if you've had a cesarean section, the getting your stomach muscles to connect more might take you longer, maybe it won't.
It's so individual, isn't it? That's the thing. Yeah, I think we have this blanket idea of this is how it's going to be and this is what it's going to be like, when actually it's so different for everybody, isn't it? It's a completely individual journey. Everyone's pregnancy is different, birth, everyone's body is different before pregnancy, after pregnancy. It's huge.
Yeah. And everybody's circumstances are different as well, right? Everybody has a different support system behind them. Some people will have grandparents and partners that can come and support them so they can take time out to think about their recovery. Some mums will just be in survival mode, and like their thoughts about looking at themselves just aren't even anywhere in the, like anywhere near. Do you know, like that's not happening yet. You know, like some mums will have lots of money and can pay someone one-to-one to meet with them regular. Like the circumstance, some babies sleep through the night from really early on. I don't know who these babies are, because that's never been my experience.
I don't believe that.
But apparently it does happen. So that mum's not dealing with sleep exhaustion, whereas this other mum whose baby's up a million times is. So like our circumstances are different as well. So never compare it to Hannah who lives next door, because Hannah is living a completely different life to you, and you don't know what's going on in her life, and actually probably what you're seeing isn't the whole truth anyway. Stay in your own lane, I think.
Definitely, and that's why I love to teach a lot as well. It's just like being on your own path. It's like listen to yourself, listen to your own body, take the time, as you don't get distracted by what anyone else is doing, what their progress is. This is you and this is your body. And the more we can just focus on ourselves and giving ourselves what we need, then that's going to help. And as you say, it's totally different for everyone, isn't it? So we don't know what support other people have. So pregnancy. Go on.
I was just gonna say like everybody's body is capable of different things at different times, right? So I don't know about you, because you've got yoga classes, right? Like in classes I always make sure that there's a few different levels for people to join in. Do you do that as well?
Absolutely.
Different levels.
Yes.
With ultimate, like, it's not that you need permission, but ultimate permission, encouragement to take whatever level feels good, and to rest whenever you need, and that's good too. I think our egos can sometimes get us a bit unactually.
I want to show that I've got this when actually, like, that's always my number one rule when someone comes to my class, it's listen to your own body. Don't worry what the person on the next mat's doing. You listen to your own body and do what feels good for you. And that's ultimately how we're going to feel good at the end of it anyway. So you might start pushing yourself to try and keep up with someone next to you. And actually, that's not going to help in your recovery at all. So yeah, listen to ourselves. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah. Now pregnancy.
Okay, yes, pregnancy.
I just want only briefly, really, because I think a pelvic floor recovery is something we can just start to think about once baby's here. And it's like, oh, okay, now I need to start doing this. What can we do in pregnancy to support that postnatal recovery of the pelvic floor?
Like, everything you learn in postnatal, you can learn and action antenatally, right? So that whole pelvic floor and core connection, if you can get that in pregnancy, those muscles are going to have more strength for postnatally anyway. So it's going to make your postnatal recovery quicker, more effective, because those muscles are already activating and are stronger. And then you've got those muscles activating throughout pregnancy as your baby is growing. So like, it can all, like, we don't have to wait for our postnatal period to learn this stuff. We can learn in pregnancy. We can actually learn pre-pregnancy. Like, we can learn this when we've not even had a baby yet or are pregnant. Like, I would argue that every woman, whether they are ever going to have a baby, actually needs to learn this, because, like I said earlier, we all have a hull that has just muscles, organs inside. You can get pelvic floor prolapse if you've never had a baby before, if we're not activating our pelvic floor properly when we're in exercise. So actually, I will go yes in pregnancy, and yes before pregnancy, and yes if there's never going to be a pregnancy. Exactly. Absolutely. It just feels more important around child pregnancy and childbirth, because that puts so much strain, doesn't it, on those muscles. So looking after them becomes like even more important.
Yeah, probably is the first time a lot of us really think about our pelvic floor. But actually, as you say, like, we should be thinking about that regardless, shouldn't we? Definitely. I want to talk about your campaign. It sounds brilliant. So you just got the dry knickers campaign. Tell me more about this.
Oh, so this came off. Okay, so this was born. Let me tell you where it was born. So I was at a meeting with some other business people, and my business coach, Lisa Bean, and we were working out like what we wanted to focus on, what our missions were, what, like, you know, like words that would catch people. And anyway, so Lisa was like, but what do women want? And I was like, they want a strong pelvic floor, but what do they want? They want to, like, not leak. And this other woman shouted out, they want dry knickers. And we all went, oh yeah, that's amazing. So that's where dry knickers came from. Dry knickers stuck after that, and it sort of then became the heading, the umbrella, the words that I would use to kind of like describe my mission. And the more I taught postnatal recovery, the more I realized how ridiculously lacking the postnatal recovery information is for us to recover our pelvic floors, right? So then I started being like, right, how do I get this information to as many mums as possible and make it really accessible? So I run a free pelvic floor workshop every 6 weeks where I go through pelvic floor recovery and how to strengthen it, and it's free, and it's literally all of the information you need. So it's online, so it doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter if you don't have any money, you can still come and access this information. And that's all come from this umbrella dry knickers program, because I was like, the mission is to get women across the country to have dry knickers. How do I get that to as many women as possible and make it as accessible? And that's the kind of idea that I came up with to run in this campaign, this mission. And it's just going to keep growing and become more. At the moment, I've started reaching out to gyms, and I've started wanting to get gyms to take responsibility and fitness places to take responsibility for keeping their women and their pelvic floors healthy and strong and safe in their fitness place, right? Because we know that the education that their coaches get does not include pelvic floor and not include looking after women in their pelvic floor. So like, but they can take responsibility for that, and they can teach their coaches. Definitely. So there's a gym in Scarborough, Barbell, who reached out to me after like talking about this, and they're like, please come and teach our coaches. So I'm going to go and talk to those coaches. So it just feels amazing that I can then go and teach the coaches how to look after women in the pelvic floor, and they will go on and teach loads more people. So for me, the campaign I feel is not big enough. It's like smaller, it's in its infancy, I'm still learning how to do it, I couldn't get any more passionate for it. But I need to learn how to make it bigger and grow more and get people to hear about it more, because just the knowledge of it will just help so many people. Do you know?
Completely agree. Well, I will share the link in the show notes to that so everyone can join. It's every 6 weeks and it's free, so there is no excuse, is there? It's accessible, as we were chatting about. So often these things aren't accessible to people, which is why we struggle with it, or we don't have the money to pay for these things. But actually, this is a free resource, a free workshop. You can go, you can learn all about how to re-strengthen your pelvic floor. I love that. That sounds so good.
And it's on replay too. So like, even if you can't make the time, it's still accessible because you literally get it in your inbox. I couldn't make it any more accessible. I guess the only way it wouldn't be accessible is if you didn't have access to a computer or a phone, but I don't think that's people these days. So
I think most of us. Well, if you're listening to this, you've got access to a phone, so you're good. You can join. Where can we find out more about you? Again, I will drop all the links here, but how can people work with you? Where can they find out more about you, Karen?
So I am mostly particularly active on Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, definitely find me on Instagram. That my handle, is that how you say it? My handle?
Exactly.
My name.
My Instagram name.
That thing you put in to find me is Karen Post Rehab, and you'll find me. And if you put that in Facebook, you'll find me on Facebook as well. And also find me on my website, karenpostrehab.co.uk. I try to keep it easy, you know, Karen Post Rehab everywhere. Okay. Just put Karen Post Rehab somewhere and you'll find me. If you're a new mum, you can join my postnatal recovery membership. I'm a fellow membership owner, because you have a membership
too, right? I do. I have a yoga membership.
Which is, I feel like our memberships are like aligned, but also because yoga is like karma. You've heard my energy, right? These are what my classes are like. My classes are like
boot camp.
Not a boot camp, but like high energy music, upbeat music. We choreograph it to music, and it's just, we just have fun and laugh, and you know. So it's like, join both. That would be an amazing combination, right?
If I was going to say, we need to think about this, don't we? Yeah, this is, it's like the yin and the yang, isn't it, to postnatal recovery? Yeah.
Exactly. I have a postnatal recovery membership. It's £22 a month. It includes a live class on a Monday morning, as many replays as you could possibly ever do in your life, and then step-by-step videos that take you through postnatal recovery. So what we've been talking about in this here.
And then
that was my first ever thing that I made. And then I made a dry knickers program, which is basically all the information and everything from the membership, but in a program that you pay for once and keep forever. And that kind of was born because members of my membership would be like, my mum needs this. So now I can go, your mum needs the dry knickers program. You know, this is for everybody, either don't want to be in a membership or doesn't have a young baby and doesn't want to be in a membership with young mum, with mums with young babies, or is pregnant, or is menopausal, or is 70, or is, you know. There's that. Do pop up like classes and workshops, and but you'll find that you'll see me talking about them on
follow
social.
You it's fun. You're a great person to follow. I love it. So thank you. Before we go, we've got our quick fire questions, so I ask every person who comes on. We forgot about these. First question. What do you wish you could tell every mum on the planet?
I wish I could tell every mum on the planet to go and learn how to recover their pelvic floor properly. You won't get that information from your healthcare professional, probably. Don't jump into a gym. Don't jump into exercise. Learn how to recover your core and use it safely, effectively in exercise before you exercise. If we could all just have that information, it would just get us to stop and at least go find it, you know.
Absolutely. What's one small thing you do every day that makes a big difference in your life?
I've been so excited to share this one with you. So I take my meds, which is not a tablet. So my meds is me time, exercise, diet, sleep. And I think about these four areas of my life. Each week I set myself some little goals for the week. And then each day I consider them. And it's kind of like a habit stacker thing. So it's just one small little thing. So today my me time is going to be a mindful coffee whilst doing two lines of crochet on my blanket. And then my exercise is going to be a little 10-minute workout. I like to try and do something, but I've not got plans for a massive exercise anything today. So we're going to do a little 10-minute workout, which might end up just being a stretch. But it's something. It just keeps my mind thinking about it, you know? Diet is literally, I'm trying to get into the habit of taking my vitamin D. I am so terrible at taking tablets. So, like, vitamin D. Just got to get that down with me today. I've achieved what I wanted to do for my diet. Yes. And sleep, I am going to bed at 9 p.m. Not a.m. 9 p.m. 9 p.m.
All nighter.
I go to bed at 9 p.m. tonight is my consideration of sleep. So yeah, so I just take my I take my meds, but I'm just considering those four areas.
I love that. That is brilliant. I love that. And lastly, what's your favorite way to recharge when motherhood or life feels overwhelming?
It's so usually a mindful coffee. So I love coffee. I only allow myself to drink two a day, otherwise I'd just drink them all day long and just be like, even more of this. You know, it's too much. It's too much. Two a day is enough. But I try and like stop, particularly with my afternoon coffee, because it's usually after a busy morning. And I stop with my coffee, it's literally 5 minutes, and I smell it and I taste it, because how often do you just gulp a drink down because you're drinking a drink for drink's sake? So I smell it, I taste it, I quiet my mind, usually put some quiet music on, usually snuggle with the dog. In summer, I usually sit outside. In winter, I sit in bed.
Love that. Yeah, it's true. It's like, I feel like, I don't know if it's a motherhood thing, but it definitely is like those little moments are so precious now, aren't they? And it don't have to be like, I used to think like, oh, it needs to be an hour of me like taking myself away. Actually, 5 minutes, as you say, just sitting with a cup of coffee in quiet, maybe reading a book, whatever it is you want to do, just sitting in quiet even. It's just amazing, isn't it? It's the best.
It's amazing how different it can make you feel. Like it doesn't even have to be 5 minutes. It was just a moment of quietness and still and stopping. Like I've literally known when I've been out and about and I've like hit, because I've got ADHD and dyslexia and I get overstimulated really easily. I have been known to go and sit in the toilet and lift my skirt over my head and just go, I need a minute.
I love this. I always laugh now because I always think like, I realize now like why my dad used to spend so much time in the toilet. Like that was like his escape, clearly, from us three crazy kids. Like he always used to go and lock him in there for like half an hour. I was like, I get it. I know why you're doing that now.
Yeah, he just needed some quiet from the stimulation.
Exactly. Oh, I love this chat so much. Thank you, Karen. And I will see you all again on the podcast next week. Bye. Thank you.